Scientists have taken the first comprehensive look at the DNA on human chromosomes and have made a discovery that could change the way we think about genes. It could also change the way we think about ourselves. Last June, biologists declared victory in their quest to decode all human DNA, the genome. Even President Clinton joined the proclamations of success. Only now, though, have scientists had a chance to behold the view from the top of this intellectual peak. This new perspective on human genes is laid out in dozens of papers in Science and Nature magazines, and as NPR's Richard Harris reports, the view is quite unexpected.
When scientists set out to decipher the human genetic code, they hope to answer big questions about who we are and the nature of all human diseases. They also hope to answer seemingly smaller questions, such as the number of genes it takes to make a human being. When the world's leading genome experts met last year, they placed bets on that number. Most were within the range of 50 to 100,000. Francis Collins, who heads the Human Genome Project, joined in the fun.
Sure enough, I bet 48,011. That's my number, and I'm clearly going to lose my dollar because I'm way off.
Collins and his hundreds of collaborators have now had a chance to count the genes they found in the course of reading the human DNA. And the answer isn't frivolous, it's actually profound.
It turns out to be an awful lot less than most of us had expected, which you could take as a bit of a blow to one's pride as a member of the human race, that maybe we're not as complicated as we thought we were. After all, worms have 19,000 genes. Simple mustard weed has 25,000 genes. We're finding out we have only about 31 or 32,000.
Celera Genomics, a private company, also read the human genome and has come up with a similar number of genes. Craig Venter, the company's president and chief scientific officer, says it's not just surprising to see how few genes we have. It's surprising that our genes are so much like the genes of other mammals, such as mice.
We found only roughly 300 genes in the human genome that don't have a counterpart in mice. That's pretty stunning. I mean, so we have twice what a fruit fly has, but only a handful more than other mammals. And so the question is, why are we different? What, you know, where does all that take place? And I think there's wonderful messages for all humanity in that.
For him, one message is that individuals aren't simply a readout of the genes they inherit. Venter says our genes do not define who we are, despite a growing popular view of genes.
People in advertisements and bar talk and family discussions talk about the gene for this, or you got your mother's gene for your ears and your father's gene for your nose, or we talk about discussions of the criminality gene or the homosexuality gene or the breast cancer gene or the colon cancer gene. If you think in a hardwired fashion, a genetically deterministic fashion, there must be a gene for almost everything associated with being human. Well, there's not. And I think that's wonderful.
The DNA in our human genome cannot be read literally like a book of instructions. Venter says scientists face the daunting task of understanding how cells in the body interpret this information to create our complexity.
This is not the blueprint for humanity as it's been advertised.
Instead, it's more like a parts list. And it turns out most genes contain information the body can use to build more than one part. The genetic information comes in bits that can be mixed and matched, like Lego pieces. So while we may only have 30,000 genes, cells can use that information to make more than 200,000 unique parts. Just how those parts are assembled is controlled by yet more genes, and those genes help make us unique. Mammals all have hair and legs and fingers and toes, but the shape, size, and arrangement is what distinguishes one species from another. Venter says understanding that much more subtle puzzle is a huge challenge.
It was going to take us 100 years to really interpret this. It is humbling. It's incredibly humbling because we realize how limited our own brain power is on trying to even absorb a fraction of this information.
Both the public and the private records of our DNA still have many gaps to be filled and errors to be fixed. It's about 94% complete, so the final gene count could also change by a few thousand one way or another. And as important as the genome is for understanding the human machine, Francis Collins says it has even more to offer.
It is a history book that tells us about where we came from. You can read that information like a fossil record in the human DNA sequence, but it's also a textbook of medicine.
It won't be a quick read, but Collins says it contains a level of detail that medical scientists are just beginning to appreciate. Richard Harris, NPR News, Washington.